Okay, today's daf is Memchet. We're going to start at the bottom of Memzayat Amabet. Four lines from the bottom. The very last word is Tnan. Okay, we'll deal with that in a minute. Refuach Lema for the week. Refuach Lema the David Avram ben Miriam, Deborah bat Dina, Orly Penina bat Rachel Frida, Yelmir bat Chai, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Daphne Chaya bat Sarai, Lana Mir bat Dina, Reza bat Pesha, Rivka Avita bat Leah Dvorah, Hanaleah bat Freda, Chayina Midvorah bat Shulamit. Yili loy nishmachana bat Avram ba'atarat, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Alevi Umele, Yosef ben Tzvi HaKoin, Oz Avram Shum ben Elezer, Yitzchak Alevi v'chana. Okay, we're in the middle of a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, a very basic machloket. Do we say that ma'od konot min haTorah, right? That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, we saw this the other day, that really you can acquire things with ma'od, right? This is where we started the parak with, that money actually isn't used to acquire items. Rabbi Yochanan says, it does acquire items. You pay someone money, they haven't yet given you the item. The item is already yours. However, the rabbis declared that because of this concern of Nisrafu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, that if it's still in the hands of the seller and there's a fire, he's not going to care because he's going to say, why should I bother saving your stuff? It doesn't belong to me. So because of that, they said Ma'orin Ankonot, and until there's Mashiach and you actually pull the item doesn't belong to you, or it doesn't transfer ownership. Rish Lakish says, no, min haTorah ma'od einam konot, and in the words of the Gemara, it's, right, that he, I don't see where it is, but it's Mashicha kona min haTorah, okay? That basically, you have to do Mashicha in order to be kona, even min haTorah. So min haTorah, there's no actual kinyan. So now we're going to bring some questions, okay, against the different shitot. So right now we're going to start with a question on Rish Lakish. Okay, Tznan. Aval amru misha para midor mabul hu atili para mi misha eno me bediburo. Right, what did we say? That if you don't stand up to your word, then what are we going to say? Then you basically get cursed. So iamar bishlama ma'ot kono mishum hachi kai ba'aval. Why do you get cursed? Okay, I was trying to think about the connection between dor mabul, dor haflaga, and right here it just says Dor HaMabul in the, is it the Mishnah where it said Dor HaFlaga, right? I forget, it was our Mishnah, I believe. Right, it said Misha Parami Dor HaFlaga. There's a few versions of it, right? It's our Mishnah that says Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. There's another version that says Anwayan Shei Stone Vamora and all those. And I was trying to think of the connection between someone who doesn't stand up to their word and those people. I saw one explanation given was that they did averot that you couldn't exactly prove that they had done something wrong. Like we say about Dor HaMabul that it was Hamas, right? They took items and paid for them. So there was no real proof that they had stolen it. Like how could you prove whether they paid the money when the guy was willing to accept or not? And that's what's going on here, that you can, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I didn't say that, right? There's no real proof. I thought it was actually Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga, what happened? The whole generation, like with Dor HaFlaga, the whole generation needed punishment. And with Dor HaMabul, the whole generation needed wiping out. And that maybe what they're saying is there's certain things that break down society. That society can't exist with these things going on. So Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, God needed to, you know, stone Vamorah. Hashem needed to, and then there was even Yotzeim, right, there was Mitzrayim in that version. God needed to just destroy the whole, right, kill the whole, whatever was going on, because the society, it was causing a breakdown of society. And I thought that maybe that's what they're trying to say. If people can't keep to their word, then it ruins the whole, our society is built on social relations, and social relations don't just mean, you know, deals with, you know, you signed on everything and you committed and you, right, but just your word. A lot of us exist on trusting other people on their word, and maybe that's the connection here, that it really causes a societal breakdown. But anyway, now they're getting into very, very detailed. So if you say the ma'ok konot, then we could say, so you have Rabbi Yochanan, ma'oder konot min haTorah. The rabbi said, because of Nisrafu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, we're not going to say Ma'od or Konot. But really, we don't write to their Konot. So therefore, if you don't keep to your word, what are we going to say? We're going to punish you, right? You get cursed. But I amar Ma'od einam Konot. But if you're going to hold by Rish Lakish, the Ma'od aren't Konot. Amai kai ba'aval? Mishum dvarim? Ubi dvarim? Mi kai ba'aval? Aval is a way of saying aval mishapara. In other words, right, it's this curse is going to come upon him. So they say very simply, if according to the Torah, Ma'od einam konot. And midrabanan, right? They're not konot either. So why should we basically curse you? What's the big deal? So you didn't keep to your word, but there's no reason to curse you for it. Okay? So therefore, according to Rish Lakish, this is simply dvarim. This is simply words. And words are nothing. So it doesn't make sense that we should curse you. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. V'ha Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af ha'pisha amru talit koned dinar zahav, ve'ein dinar zahav koned talit, mikom akom kach halacha. Even though we say that a talit is koned dinar, right? Meaning, if you were moshech a talit, it will be koned. But if you're moshech a dinar, you're not koned the talit. Mikom akom kach halacha. Okay, so Rashi says, she'ein beitin yucholim la'akev biyado. In other words, even, right, a dinar zahav is not koneh a talit, and therefore we can't force the owner to give the talit over. Aval amru misha para me'an she dor mabul, me'an she dor plaga. Here comes the version. Me'an she stone b'amora, umi mitzrayim bayam. Okay, right, these are all places where the entire community got destroyed. Okay, so the God who destroyed those people, hu atili para mi misha one eno me b'diburo. V'hanose v'notem b'dvarim lo kana. And someone who's no seven otem bedvarim, who just does things by speech alone, okay, not by money, not by passing over money, or not by passing over the talit, right? We have dargot in this braita. We have, remember, this is Rabbi Shimon. So we have the giving the talit, that for sure is koneh. There's the giving the money, which we're going to say gets a misha para, gets cursed. But if you just speak, and you just have a verbal agreement between you, lo kana. This is a lower level, right? In other words, what happened? We have three levels. If you don't do yours, you know, you did mishicha on a talit, so you have to do your, right? The beitin can force you. If you go down one level and you give money, then what's going to happen? You get a misha para, right? The beitin can't force you, but you're going to be cursed. The third level is, if you just said something, had a verbal agreement, according to that, we're just going to say, okay, the rabbis won't be pleased with you. Now, what's the problem here? We're trying to bring a question on Rish Lakish from this case, right? And this case, what does it say about money? The Misha Para, right? Which would not be a question. But what are we going to say? Rabbi Shimon, we already said, I think on the previous stuff, that Rabbi Shimon, Rish Lakish doesn't hold by Rabbi Shimon. Rish Lakish goes with Chachamim. So Rish Lakish is going to make it. The Gemara is going to make an analogy here. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that basically if mida oraita ma'oder kono, but the rabbi said no, and that's why you get a misha para. But what does Rabbi Shimon say? If it's just barim alone, then em ruach chachamim nocheimenu. Now, why is this a question on Rish Lakish? Because according to Rish Lakish, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. He holds like chachamim. That what? That ma'ot are just like words alone. Okay, giving money does not have any halachic significance. So giving money is basically saying, I'm committing to you in words. So therefore, when they read into Rish Lakish says, if it's just varim, if it's just words, what do we say? Ein ruach hachamim nocheimen. Right? So now, they're going to say that according to Rish Lakish, money is equal to dvarim ba'alma, right? Just words. And just words, ain't ruach chachamim nocheimen. So why would you get a misha para? It doesn't make any sense. So that's the question on Rish Lakish. So now they're going to answer, v'amarava, anu ein lanu ela, ein ruach chachamim, this is the continuation of this. So on this bright, so this is the continuation of the question. Rava says, anu ein lanu ela, ein ruach chachamim nocheimen. Okay, and that's, one second, right, what? He's talking about, one second. Right, he's just saying about this braita, that if someone's chozer bidvarav, I'm not really sure why they bring his line, because it's clear in any case. He says, in a case where somebody is chozer bidibaro, we basically say, em ruach hachamim nocheimen. So now, what are they answer to this? Dvarim v'ika ba'adayu ma'ot kai ba'aval. Even though Rish Lakish looks at money being passed as nothing according to halacha, it's still different than a verbal agreement. There's a verbal agreement with an action, even though the action doesn't have halachic significance. There's verbal agreement with an action, and then there's verbal agreement alone. So when it comes to verbal agreement alone, he'll say, but if it comes to verbal agreement with some sort of action, even though the action doesn't have significance halachically, that you can't say we're going to force the person to pay based on this, or that ma'oni nam konot according to him, but it's enough to say you're already going to be cursed. Okay? In other words, there's a, even though he thinks that kesef is like dvarim, he actually doesn't think it's exactly like dvarim. He thinks it's a step above. Okay, so even though he will agree the ma'oni nam konot, he does think it's a bit of a step above. Okay, so therefore he's going to say, that's the difference. That's the answer for Rish Lakish. Okay, Amar Rava, kra umatnita misayle l'Rish Lakish. Now we're going to bring a pasuk and a braita that support Rish Lakish. Kra dechtiv, v'chichesh pa'amito b'pikadon o b'tsumet yad o b'gezel o ashaket amito. Okay, this is when a person denies that he owes someone money. Okay, and then there's these two psukim here. Okay, I'll read you Dvarim. You can look at the Torah or okay. Nefesh ki tachtau ma'al ma'al ba'ashem. Okay, vayikrehe pasuk kaf aleph. Right, so a person who does a chet, it does me'ila against God, what does he do? Chichesh b'amito, he denies something to his friend that he owes him, either b'pikadon, or b'tzumet yad, some sort of pledge, o b'gezel, or by theft, oh, ashaket amito, he owes someone money for work they did and he didn't pay them. And then, two psukim later, it says, v'haya ki achtav v'ashem, and when it turns out it's clear that he did this, how do we know this, right? So, you know, either he admits or he gets caught that he lied. What does he have to do? Now, notice, there were four things in the first pasuk, okay? There was pikadon, tsumet yad, this pledge, gezel, theft, and not paying a person. Now pay attention that one is going to be missing. V'heshiv, what does he have to do? He has to return hagzela sher gazal. Okay, notice the order is totally different. He returns the theft, the item he stole. O et ha'oshek asher ashak, or the money that he owed the person for not paying him for his salary. O et ha'pikadon asher afkadito. Okay, o et ha'aveda asher matzaru. Now they bring up aveda. Okay, but that wasn't in the first pasuk. And which one's missing? The tsumet yad, the pledge. That's what this bright is going to play off on. So, let's read it inside now. Dichtiv chichesh b'amito b'pikadon b'tzumet yad b'gezel o'ashaket amito. Tzumet yad, Amar Rav Chisda, what's the case of tzumet yad? Kigon sheyiched lo kli lahalva'ato. It means that you made a pledge to someone, meaning you said in the event, you took out a loan, and you said in the event that I don't pay you back the loan, this item will be yours. And now what happens? You come and you deny that you ever committed this item to the person. That's the case. Okay? That's the pledge. The pledge is that you committed, okay, I said, I'll give you this iPad if I don't pay my money. And then you, right, come and claim the iPad because I didn't pay you. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never committed this iPad to you. That's tzumet yad. Oshek. Oshek is when basically, right, I don't pay you a salary. Amar Rav Chisda, kigon sheyiched lo kli la'oshko. Okay, same thing, same concept. It's not just that I don't pay your salary. It's that I told you in the event I don't pay your salary, I'll give you this iPad. Okay, those are the things, and then you deny that you ever committed. So now, v'chi ahadre kra, and when the pasuk repeats it in terms of the mitzvah of hashava, when you have to return it, k'tiv, notice what it says here, v'haya ki yachtav ha'ashem, gazal, this you already know because I just read it to you. Notice it doesn't say that you have to return the iPad, right, that I committed to you. Now notice it doesn't say, we're going to see obviously there's going to be a problem, because if we just said that this iPad can function both for the Oshek and for the Tzumet Yad. And when it comes to the Oshek, it is mentioned. When it comes to the Tzumet Yad, it's not. Let's ignore the Oshek for right now. Right now, what they're saying is, why does it say you don't have to return this iPad? What's going to be the obvious reason? This is going to be proof for Rish Lakish. Because I said I would commit the iPad, but it's dvarim ba'alma, right? There was no kinyan mishicha. So my time, lav mishum de machasra mishicha. Is it not that I don't have to actually return you the item according to the pasuk in the case of tzumet yad? Why is that? Because there was no kinyan mishicha. So what do you see here? That you have to have kinyan mashicha min haTorah, and ma'od inam korod, or some other, right, mashicha is kone exclusively. So, that's what are the ma'od inam korod? I owe you money, basically. That's not enough. So now, what do they say here? Amar le Rav Papa le Rava, ema me'oshek hu dahadar kra. Wait a minute, but oshek also, it says, maybe it didn't repeat. Why? Maybe it didn't tell you Veshivata Gzela. I'm sorry. Veshivata Tsumet Yad, right? The case of Tsumet Yad. Why not? Not because it was Mechusar Meshicha, but because it already said it by Oshet. And since Oshet is the same kind of thing, you didn't pay your salary, but you committed beforehand that if I don't pay your salary, I'll give you the iPad. So it's the same thing, so it didn't need to repeat it. Okay? But then they say, no, no, no. You could say that the Oshet case is different. Why? Hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon. Why would you have a chiyuv hashav in the Oshet case and not in the Tsumet Yad case? Because maybe the Oshet case was different. Maybe kigon shenatlu mimenu v'chazru v'yivkidu etzlo. I hire you to do work for me. And what do? I say, listen, this iPad is yours if I don't pay. And you did a kinyan mashicha on it. And then you said, but you know, keep it in your rashut though until you pay me, right? And in the event that you don't pay me, I'll take it. But there was kinyan mashicha. In which case, again, we're going to go back to saying, this proves Rish Lakish because the Oshek had a mashicha. The Tsumet Yad didn't. That's why Tsumet Yad isn't missing here, to show you that there's no chiyuv because it didn't have mashicha. So then they say, wait a minute. If you're going to say that the Oshek case is where he was natzlu mimenu and then chazar v'yivkidu etzlo, hainu pikadon. That's the same exact thing as pikadon, so then you didn't need to say it. So they say, no, we've seen this before, hainu gazlam, remember? Tre gavne pikadon. Okay, there's two types of pikadon. There's a pikadon where you give me your item to watch, and there's a pikadon where I'm makne to you, but then you give it right back to me. You know, and it's when I owe you money, I might not even ever give you this pikadon back. You can see where there's a difference, right? Because the iPad might not ever be yours because I'll pay you your salary, and then it won't be yours. But then we still have the same problem. Who's to say that Oshek is in a case like that, but Tsumet Yad isn't? It's arbitrary that they said this. So ihachi Tsumet Yad nami lihadri velokme. In other words, the Pasuk should have repeated it. And then if the Pasuk had repeated it, what would we have said? We would have said, oh, it's not because it's Chaser Mashicha. No, there actually was Mashicha. Right? So then they say, well, I ahadrakra, if the Pasuk would have repeated Tsumet Yad in the second Pasuk, then lo tiyuvta velo siyata. Then it wouldn't, we wouldn't be able to prove either which way, because you could have said it was a case where there was a pikadon involved, you know, where he basically gave it to him and then he gave it back. Or you could have said it wasn't. In other words, it wouldn't have proved either which way. But hashta delo hadrakra. But now, because the pasuk specifically excludes it, misayale, we can say that this is actually a proof for Rish Lakish. So then they say, wait a minute. Utsumet Yad lo hadrekra. What do you mean the pasuk doesn't repeat Tsumet Yad? The Hatanya Amar Rabbi Shimon minayin litanatam or lamala lamata. How do you know that everything included in the first pasuk is also included in the later pasukim? Okay, what's the next pasuk? I didn't read it, but if you look in pasuk Kaf Dalet, right after it said, right when it repeated and it didn't repeat Tsumet Yad, what does it then say? O mikol asher yishava lav lasheker. Or anything that you swear about falsely, right? Then what does it say? V'shilem oto b'roshov v'chamishito v'chamishitav Yosef alav la'asher hu lo yitenu b'yamash mato. We darshan that pasuk a whole bunch of times, right? So if you remember. So now what are they saying? Omi kol asher yishava alav la'sheker includes anything that was mentioned above, meaning that even Tsumet Yad is going to be included in this whole halacha, and you'll have to return the item, and a fifth, and you have to bring your korban and all that. So therefore, what do you mean it's not mentioned? It is mentioned. It might not be mentioned explicitly, but it's clearly included here because, and you can't say, oh, it's Chaser Mashicha, and that's why, and therefore proves Rish Lakish. So now they say no. So let's keep going. I didn't read the whole thing, but Omikol Shei Shavalav Lasheker, what do we say? Amarav Nachman, Amarav Ravua, Amarav. What does he say it means? Minayin Litenet Hamor Lamala Lamata. He says it's L'Rabot Tsumet Yad L'Hishavon. Okay, it dafka includes what is Oyish Shavah Lav Lasheker. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Ravuo, says in the name of Rav, that this bright is coming to teach you the Tsumet Yad you need to return. Okay, it says it explicitly in this, right? That's how the Emora understands this bright. So what do they answer? Behed Yemi Aloha Hatrikra. You can still learn out from Rish Lakish, because even though it's implicit in the Pasuk, it's not explicit in the Pasuk. And the fact that the there's one thing about we can learn that it's still included, however, it's not mentioned by name. And because it's not mentioned by name, we can still learn from here that Tsumet Yad is different because it's Chaser Mashicha. And then, because there was no Mashicha, we can learn that Mashicha Kona Min HaTorah, and therefore right? Ma'od or not enough or anything else. You need to have Mashiach. Okay. So that's the pasuk. Okay, that was, if you remember, we started this by saying, Rava said, there's a pasuk and there's a braita that supports Rish Lakish. So this was the pasuk. So now what are we basically saying? Even though we had a lot of back and forth at the end, the fact that the words Tsumat Yad do not appear on Pasuk Kaf Gimel and they do appear on Pasuk Kaf Aleph and they're specifically eliminated, even though they're included halachically, Lefi Torah Shebaal Peh, they're included in the whole halacha, but the fact they're not mentioned explicitly in the Torah teaches us, proves Rish Lakish. Again, you could argue it, but that's what Rav says. This proves Rish Lakish. So now, what's the matnita that supports him? Matnita minalan. Where do we learn from a braita? Ditanya nitana lebalan ma'al. If you give ma'od of hekdesh to a balan, what's a balan? He's the guy who works, right, like a balanit in the mikvah. So the balan is the guy who works in the bathhouse. You give him money. Now here there's a big debate about what you're giving him the money for. Are you giving him money to use the bathhouse? That seems to be the pshat. Some people say, no, you're giving him the money to rent the bathhouse. And maybe that's what it's referring to, but we'll go by the simple. You're giving him money to use the bathhouse. So now, as soon as you give him the money, ma'al, okay? You already are chayv me'ila. What's me'ila? It's when you use money of hektesh accidentally, right? You didn't realize it was hektesh money, and you use it for chulin. So you take this money that you didn't realize was designated for hektesh, you give it to the balan, immediately you're ma'al. V'amarav, v'davka balan hu, d'lo michzera mashicha, mechasra mashicha. Aval midi achrite, d'mechasra mashicha, lo ma'al adem mashich. Here's your proof. What does it mean? Why specifically does it say, as soon as you give it to a balan, you're mo'al, but just to a balan? Because in the case of a balan, there's no possible mashicha you can do. What, are you going to be moshech the bathhouse? You're going to be moshech, right? So some people say, there's also a debate here. Are we talking about the use of the bathhouse? Are we talking about that you're hiring the balan? And then it goes into stuff that we'll see in the sixth parak of Baba Metzia about you hired a worker, and the moment maybe you hire a worker, he already is... That, like, that's a commitment without actually doing some sort of kinyan, and he can't be chozerbo, or maybe can, right? There's a bit of a debate, and that's why some people say, no, this can't be talking about a worker. It's talking about use of the bathhouse, or maybe you're talking about renting the bathhouse. But what do they say here? What, however you view it, there's no meshicha. There's no possible item. You could be moshech. Ah, so yafeh. So maybe it's talking about any service, okay? Specifically, they talk here about the balan, but maybe it's talking about any service. We'll see in a minute. They're going to bring another one. Okay, so now this seems to prove that if it were something else, though, where there would be some sort of kinyan meshicha, then we would say that you have to do meshicha, and without meshicha, it wouldn't be me'ila. So now they say, wait a minute, v'hatanya nitana l'sapar ma'al, v'sapar habay l'mimshach tisporet. Okay, this sounds very weird. It's a little unclear what they're talking about. Okay, but you go for a hairdresser, okay? You go and you give money, you pay for the hairdresser. At that point, you're already ma'al, right? Even though he hasn't yet done anything, you haven't done any kinyan. So there you see, but you could have been moshech the clay tisporet. That's the assumption. When it says you could have been moshech, so now according to this understanding, it's very strange, right? It's very hard to understand this. That when you go to get a haircut, if you pay the money first, right? Usually we pay after. But if you pay the money first, in order for you to affect a kinyan, that the guy can't be chozer bo in the deal, you'd have to take his scissors or something and lift them up to do a kinyan. Okay, there's a bunch of different options of understanding this. But 1 second, I wanted to say, right? Some people say it's quoted here that some of the rabbis say that the haircut begins the moment he puts a sheet on you. That's sort of like, you know, when he puts the cape or whatever on you, that might count. There's different explanations of it. And there's it's a bit unclear, this whole sugya, what we're talking about. Are we talking about a service only? Or some people want to take this out of the service department. We're not talking about services. Because if we're talking about services, then like Naomi said, it would apply to any service. And here they're making distinctions between types of services. So therefore, some people say that it's not the service, it's you're renting the bathhouse, or you want to rent the barber's stuff. You go to a barber shop to rent his implements so that you can use them. to cut someone else's hair. But yeah, it's hard to see that in the shot, but you can see why maybe they want to take it out of the whole service industry. So this sugya in general is a little confusing. You know, the Mefarshim were also, you know, each one had a different approach to how to understand it. Okay, so now what are we going to say? You can't say it's unique to the Balaam, whereas Michzer HaMashicha, because the same thing applies also by the Sapar. And there was something that you should have been Moshech, right? You have to be Moshech. So Hacha B'mayaskinam B'Sapar Nochri Dela Bar Mashichahu. Ah, they say, when it says that you give it to the Sapar, and as soon as you give it to him without doing any Mashicha, you were Moel, it's because there wasn't a possibility to do Mashicha. It was just like the Balaam case, where there was no possibility. Why was there no possibility? Because we're talking about you went to a non-Jewish hairdresser. And non-Jewish hairdresser, there's no Kenya Mashicha when it comes to non-Jews. Tanya Nami Hachi, here's another support to this. Nitana Sapar Ola Sapan. Sapan is a sailor. Oh, lekol ba'alei omanut, lo ma'al ad demashach. So here you see, you gave it to the sapar or the sapan, and what do you learn? And this is why it's hard to say that the Balaam was just a service, because these are people in the service industry, and it says, lekol ba'alei omanut, anyone who's doing a service for you, you're not mo'el ad demashach until you do mashicha. So kashin ahadadi, these seem to contradict. There's the sapar who we said, he's mo'el immediately, and now there's the sapar who we say, you're not mo'el ad demashach. So, El Alav Shmamina, and this is, remember, they're bringing this to prove what we just said a minute ago. You have to assume these brides are talking about two different hairdressers. Kam B'Sapar Nochri V'Kam B'Sapar Yisrael Shmamina. And there's a difference between a Sapar Nochri and a Sapar Yisrael, in which case, where are we holding still? We're back to the fact that this brides supports Rish Lakish in saying that you're going to basically, right, the reason why you're Mo'el when it comes to the Balan is because there was no potential to do Mashicha. But if there was potential to do Mashicha, like a Sapar Yisrael, or any other kind of Balei Amanut, like that second last Breita says, you're not Kone Ad Shemoshech. You have to do Mashicha. Okay, there's no Kenyan before that. Okay. V'chein Amarav Nachman Dvar Torah Ma'ot Konot. Okay, now we're going to, that was all Rish Lakish. Okay, before we move on, I forgot, I wanted to read this Rashi at the top of the page. It's very important. Okay? According to both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, what do we say? The Ma'od Einam Konot, right? Rabbi Yochanan says Midoraita their Konot, but not Midorabanan. And Rish Lakish says not Doraita, not Dorabanan. So the question is, what's the Nafkamina, right? What does it matter? If Ma'od Konot or Ma'od Einam Konot. So look at Rashi, six lines from the top of the page. Kai Ba'aval, right? You get the Saval Mishapara. So mishum dvarim shebao al kach lechlam maaseh, right? Because of things that you said, that things with a maaseh, then you get okay. Aval ma'ot lo kanu midoraita. Okay, that's not important for our purposes. Here comes the important part. V'nafkamina le'inyan isura kigon. Where's the nafkamina? Nafkamina dine mamonot. There's no nafkamina because in the end it's not konot. Right? You can be chozer bo basically if you paid money. But what's when you move into the realm of isurim, so like what? Im kidesh bo et ha'isha. Let's say, now there's two explanations of Rashi here. I'll go with the first. Let's say you have money that someone gave you, okay, to pay for something, and you haven't yet given them their item. And then, they paid you, and you haven't yet given the item. You take that money, and you give it to a woman to betroth her. So now what happens? Is that money yours? Legally? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, since mi de'oraita ma'ot konot, they belong to you. And therefore you can makadesh the woman with this money. Okay? But according to Rish Lakish, ma'ot einam konot, this is nothing. Until you actually do the mashicha, that money doesn't actually belong to you. A second explanation is that he's not talking about the money, he's talking about the item. In other words, if you used an item, so then what would it be? It would be you used an item that was acquired with money, but I guess it, but then how would you use it, right? I'm not sure how that second explanation works. I'll tell you the problem with this explanation, okay? We'll read it in a minute. But anyway, let's just read Rashi. So, the Rabbi Yochanan have a kiddushim to midoraita kanye, v'didehu, it's yours. But the Rish Lakish lo have a kiddushim. But if you're, what's the problem with this? The money, so first of all, there's also a question, is it only a problem if the guy eventually is chozer bo? In other words, if the guy eventually goes through with it, maybe it won't be a problem, because eventually this money will be yours. You know, it's somewhat yours now, but what if the guy's chozer bo? Because ma'od einam konot, he could be chozer bo. So then what happens to the woman? Is she betrothed? Is she not betrothed, right? But then there's also a problem, we say hefker beit din hefker, that the rabbis have the power to determine whose money's whose. They can, rabbis can determine that you think your money's yours and they give it to somebody else. So even though midoraita, it's a valid, you know, giving the money's yours, but since the rabbis determine that it's not yours, then you shouldn't even be able to do kiddushin with it either. So some people say that's what we're talking about, an object and not the money, and it would have to be, let me just read it for a second. It would be someone who takes schora that he bought b'kinyan ma'ot. But how could that? Shekna l'schora za b'chalipin. I see. That's what it would have to be. It would have to be, let's say, someone gave me money for my para, okay? Then, or for my, let's take it for my iPad. Let's go back to that. Someone gives me money for the iPad. Now, the iPad is theirs, technically, but they haven't yet, we haven't done Mashiach, right? So now, according to Rish Lakish, it's nothing. According to Rabbi Yochanan, well, it's only Midrabanan, it's nothing, right? But Midrabanan, it's something. And then, they do a kinyan chalipin, they do a kinyan with a woman with a handkerchief, but symbolic that the iPad will be hers and with the iPad she'll be betrothed. So that's how he never does a kinyan mashicha, but it's something that's technically his, but it's not really his. So according to Rish Lakish, it's really not his, because no mashicha has happened. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be his midoraita, just not midorabanan, and there's no issue of hefker beit din hefker, because it's not money, where the money, you know, you wouldn't have that problem. Anyway, it's an interesting nafkamina. The Ritva actually rejects this and gives a different nafkamina, but we'll stick with this for now. Okay. Now we're going to try to prove Rabbi Yochanan. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, dvar Torah ma'ot konot, ubatka levi b'matnite v'eshkach. Okay, so Rav Nachman said, I believe like Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ot konot midoraita, and Levi checked in his brito that he knew about, and he found a brito that supports this. Nitana l'siton ma'al. If you give something to a wholesaler, then there's me'ila. So now they say, right, because then you see that, right, you gave money to someone, you're chayv me'ila already. Why you chayv me'ila? Because mi de'oraita ma'od or konot. So elakasha l'rish lakish. So now I say, wait a minute. So you could say that this bright is kasha l'rish lakish. Sounds like a great source against him. So amar lecha rish lakish, hamane Rabbi Shimon hi. He says, that brayta doesn't bother me, because anyway, I know there's a machloket tanaim about this, Rabbi Shimon chachamim. I hold by chachamim. Rabbi Shimon I don't agree with. I can easily say, well, that brayta is authored by Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it doesn't reject my opinion. Notice, by the way, all the sources they're giving are about me'ila. It's like another nafkamina, really, because it's saying, it's the world of isurim. When it comes to mamonot, they're not going to have any disagreements, really. It's when it comes to the realm of isurim, that's when the disagreements are going to come about. Okay, now we have an interesting thing about this mishapara. Okay, aval amru mishapara b'chulei. According to this, what happens? Someone who doesn't keep to their word, we say, okay, now it's not just he'll be cursed, but we say to him, he's cursed. Right? We say. So now there's a machloket. What exactly do we do here? Itmar, it's a very interesting machloket. Abai amar, odue modi'in anle. We tell him, we say, you should be, you know, we say, we want you to know that there's a curse that goes to people like this. Okay? But we don't actually curse him. We just say, you should, it's basically like saying, you should know this is a really bad thing that you're doing. Rava amar, melat laitin anle. No, we actually curse him. Okay, we say, cursed be the person who does this, right? And you'll be, okay, it's more like a, okay, it's interesting. This is a little bit like a, like where you're coming from, like what world you live in, right? Some people are into the curses and the things, and some people are like, tell people what they should do, and, you know, it's wrong. You'd rather speak in that kind of wording rather than speaking in curses, right? It's interesting. Okay. Abayamar odiude modi'in anle. Odue modi'in anle. Okay, we inform him. Why? How do you know this? Dichtiv, nasiba amcha lo ta'or. You're not allowed to curse. Right? This is actually talking about a nasi. Okay, you're not allowed to curse a nasi. But he says, you're not allowed to curse anybody. You know, we don't curse. It's just not something we do as a people. We don't believe in cursing. Rava amar melat laitin anle. Dichtiv. So how does Rava understand this pasuk? Nasiba amcha lo ta'or. Dichtiv ba'amcha. What does ba'amcha mean? Ba'oseh ma'aseh amcha. Who are you not allowed to curse? Someone who's ba'amcha. But as soon as they do something against the law, then already they're not part of amcha. Now this is very interesting because according to what we learned, he's not actually doing something so terrible. It's one thing to say someone did a real avera, they're out, right? They're on the out. They're out of our nation. But to say, which is already a difficult statement, bichlal, right, to say that. But we're going to get into this in Sanhedrin also, this whole thing about bo sema semcha, It's actually a very interesting sugya. It comes up. I can't remember if we touched on it, but the main sugya is in Sanhedrin, where if you your father or mother are ovrei avera, do you have to be, you know, are you chayev makavi v'imo? Like, can you be a shliach beit din to give lashes to your parents? Let's say you work in the beit din, and you know, are you allowed to do that? Because it's lashes that are allowed, but on the other hand, it's a sort of kill, you know, to hit your father or your mother. And so anyway, there's a whole thing about it, and it's also it uses this drashav bosem asam cha that maybe you know if they're not doing things right, maybe you're not chayav. There's a whole debate about it. Anyway, we'll get there soon, or in a little while. Still have a while. Okay. Amarava. Mina aminala, what's my proof? In other words, okay, I can say Bamcha, right? We can curse. But still, why should you, how do you know from here that we're actually supposed to curse him? Mina aminala, de Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, Yahavu lezuze al malcha. Rabbi Chir bar Yosef gave money to a malach, a guy who's, I assume it's a guy who sells salt, right? Is that what? Or is it a, I think it's for, right, it's for salt. He's giving money for salt. L'sof iyaker malcha. But after he gives the money, the price of salt goes up. So what's going to happen? He's going to get less salt for what he gave money for. Right? He paid 100 shekel, expecting to get a certain amount of salt. Now salt goes up in value, he's going to get less for his money.
I feel like we had this before. When someone bought something for someone and held on to it, then we had
yes, we did have this case before. Yes, we had it where then it was worth less money. Yes. Atel kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chir bar Yosef goes in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lei zil havlehu vilo. You have to give him the money. Now he already gave him the money, so it's a little. We'll get to this in a minute. Ilo kabil alecha misha para. Okay, and if not, you're gonna be cursed. Okay. Doesn't make any sense to say that if you told Rabbi Chia, if it was just to inform him that this is the halacha, what, he didn't know the halacha? There would be no point for him to tell him. He already knows the halacha. So therefore, it must have been that we're going to curse him. Okay? He's basically telling him, if you don't give the, you know, now we're going to see, what does it mean, give the money? He already gave the money, what exactly are we talking about? But we'll explain that in a minute. But therefore, it must be he's cursing him. So Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, ad the kibule alav letuta, derabanan. In other words, what? If you don't think that he's such a tamid chacham, that basically you don't need to inform him, he knows the halacha, but he can be cursed? In other words, why would he be asking something that was such a basic halacha that was obvious, right, that if he didn't do it, he'd be cursed? That also doesn't make any sense. Ella, Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, there must be that we're not understanding the case properly. Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, a ravon hu diyavele, he gave him a deposit, okay? He gave him part of the money for the salt. Let's say he gave him 50 out of the 100 shekel. Hu savar kenegdo hu kone. Vamarle Rabbi Yochanan keneged kula hu kone. What did he think? Rabbi Chia was asking, listen, I told him I was going to pay him 100. I already paid him 50, okay? Let's say for a kilo. I paid him 50 for a kilo. Now, I was going to buy 2 kilo, right? Now, if I give him the other 50, I'm only going to get, let's say, you know, 1.5 kilos instead of 2 kilos. And I don't want to get 1.5 kilos for two. I never would have spent the money knowing that. Do I actually have to give the rest of the money? Okay, now, it's obviously the 50 I gave, and there's nothing to do about it. I know that. But do I have to give the other 50? So Rabbi Chir bar Yosef, in asking this question, what did he think? He thought that when ma'ot konot, when we do say it's koneh, at least in the sense that you're going to get cursed if you go back on your word. The question is, I only gave money for half of it, so maybe I only have to keep my word for the half that I gave the money for. Until now, we've all been talking about where he gave the full amount. Now we're going to talk about what if he gives half the amount. So Rabbi Yochanan comes and tells him, no, you already committed, you gave half the money, you now have to fulfill your agreement, give all the money, and get only 1.5 kilos instead of 2 kilos. Okay, and that's what he was telling him. And therefore, it doesn't really prove anything in terms of this Misha Parah, is it a curse or is it not? It could be Oduya Modi'in Anle, okay? It doesn't prove Rav. Now, since we brought up this topic, we're going to mention that Rabbi Yochanan says, Keneged Kula Hukone, but not everybody agrees with him. Itmar, there's a machloket emoraim. A ravon, if you give a deposit, Rav Omer Kenegdo Hukone. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kenegid Kula Hukone. Okay, so there's a machloket. Rav thinks you only gave money for the part that you gave money for, and the rest doesn't work for. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you actually have to give all the rest of the money. Now we're going to have a question. Meitive. Hanotein Eravon L'chaveru. V'amar lo, im ani chozer bi, ervoni machulacha. V'hala omer lo, im ani chozer bi, echpolacha ervoncha. Okay, by the way, we're going to wait a few minutes till we figure out what the contradiction is here. So the first, it starts off saying this. If you gave an Eravon and you say, if I'm chozer bi, then you can keep my deposit. Okay, this happens, by the way, a lot, where we give a deposit for something and we know going in that if we don't keep to our agreement, we're going to write you book a hall for a bat mitzvah or something, right? And then once you give the money, so generally you have a certain amount of time where you can maybe at a certain point, 3 months before, you can cancel, get your money back, right? There's always, these are all things that are stipulated. But what if it's not stipulated at all? So they say, if you say, let's say you say, you do stipulate, you say, if I'm chozer bi, you can keep my deposit. But halal mir, and the other guy says, if I change my mind and I tell you you can't rent out this hall, if I cancel my part of the agreement, echpo lecha ervoncha, I will give you back your deposit times two. Okay? Now, why are they saying this? Because they want to say, I'm really serious, right? In other words, I wouldn't be putting down money if I wasn't really serious. Or I wouldn't be promising you double. Think about the guy who owns the hall. He says, I'll pay you double your deposit. Like, that would never happen nowadays, right? Nobody would ever commit to such a thing. So what do we say here? This is what we call, okay, asmachta. Asmachta, we've come across this before. We're going to come across it again. It's where you say something that you don't really mean. Okay? It comes up, the famous figure where it comes up is in gambling. Because when you gamble, you don't really intend to lose your money. When you put your money down, right, you want to get double your money. You don't want to lose your money, right? So do you really mean, and when the casino certainly doesn't want to lose their money, so when they give you money, maybe they never had real intent to be machne you the money, in which case there's no, the money doesn't belong to you, in which case, this is why some people say the gamblers can't be witnesses. One of the reasons given is because they've stolen money. Because by taking money out of a casino, it's basically stolen money. Okay? So, according to this, nitkaimu atnaim, the halacha is, according to this, nitkaimu atnaim, you're still thinking about that. Nitkaimu atnaim, listen, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says if you promise that, it works. Okay? He would likewise think that a casino works. Because you said it, you committed. Rabbi Yossi l'ta'ame da'amar asmachta kanya. He says asmachta is kone. Okay? You go to a casino, yeah, you were taking a gamble. That's exactly what you were doing. And the casino was willing to give you the money because they're hoping they're going to win. And you were willing to give them the money because you were hoping you were going to win. And that's how it works. Okay? So that's his shita. But not everybody agrees. Some people say no. You never really intended to lose your money. They never really intended to give you the money. And therefore, it's not kone. We'll get into it more there. This isn't one of the main sugyas of asmachta. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayoshe yikne neged ervono. He says it's enough that it's kone, in other words, whatever you gave your deposit, it's kone keneged ervono, meaning you should get the value of whatever you gave your deposit, but no more than that. Amar Rabban Shim ben Gamliel, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, when does this work that sheyikne neged ervono? Bizman sha'amar lo ervoni yikon. If he says to him, my eravon will be kone. In other words, there's two ways of looking at a deposit. A deposit could be, I'm just putting some money down, but this isn't actually, it's almost like when I said, I'll give you my iPad in case I don't pay you the full money of the loan, right? That's the way they're viewing this deposit. If you don't stipulate, your deposit is just, I'm committing to you that eventually I'll pay you all the money. But, okay, but if you say, and therefore it's not kone, but if you say my eravon will be kone, then it works. But machar lo bayit o sadeh be'elef suz, Uparalo mehem cham. Oh, and that, sorry. If you say ervoni yikon, then what does that mean? That you should get, compared to your deposit, whatever you deposited, they have to give you the value of what you gave. But if you sold him a bayit or sadeh be'elef zuz, uparalo mehem chamesh meot zuz, and he pays 500, kana umachzir lo et hashar, afilu la'achar kama shanim. If I paid only 500 zuz for this sadeh, I'm kone the entire field, and over time I have to pay you the full amount. Okay, in other words, in that case, if I didn't say Arvuni Yikon, then I was really committing to the whole thing, and I have to pay the entire thing. My love, hu adin l'metaltalin. So now they're going to say what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. Shouldn't this apply also to metaltalin? The bidistama kane lehu lekulhu. That if you say it bistam and you don't say ervoni yikon, right? The stam, the default, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, is you were giving the same way you would view a deposit. A deposit is going to partially pay for the whole thing. In which case, it would be koneh neged hakol. In which case, this wouldn't only apply to karka, like the case was, but even though Rosh Shimon Gamliel said it for karka, wouldn't it also apply to metaltalin? In which case, it's a question on Rabbi Yochanan, who said, I'm sorry, it's a question on Rav, who said, kinegdo hu koneh, right? That it's only koneh against part of it. So the bidistama kaneh lehu lekulu. So then they say, lo, metaltalin, no, we're going to distinguish like we always do between metaltalin and karka. Metaltalin, bidistama lo kaneh. Okay, so then they're going to say, umayishna karka, debakaspa kane lehu, debakaspa kane le mamash, kane le lekula.
So for karka, it's a down payment. Security.
Right, exactly. So karka, debakaspa kane le mamash, kane le lekule. Metaltale, de lo kane ele lekibule misha para. Lokana le lekule. They say that metaltalin, you're only koneh to the extent that you have to keep to your word, and you'll get cursed if not. And therefore, you're not koneh all of them. But when it comes to karka, what's the difference? If you remember, okay, this goes way back to Kiddushin. The karka, remember we had all different things. What could be koneh with what? Karka nikne bekesef, or bishtar. So since kesef can be koneh karka, really affect a kinyan, therefore when you pay part, you've actually paid for the whole thing.
You just down payment.
Exactly. But when it comes to metaltalin, since a kinyan kesef is nothing, it's just that you're chayav in a misha para, therefore we're going to say you pay part of it, you're only acquiring part of it and not the whole, not what you didn't yet pay for. Okay, that's it for today.